Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Thank you for your generous support. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president of radio operations at Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or through our Facebook page. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. And next on Art in the Air Spotlight, we're pleased to welcome Melissa Nowak, the branch librarian at the Cedar Lake Public Library, part of the Lake County Library System, and she's going to talk about some of the things that are happening right there. Melissa, welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we want you to tell us a little bit about what you got going on there, both with COVID, but, you know, libraries have been stepping up to the challenge. What's Cedar Lake doing?
So Cedar Lake is part of a nine-branch system, the Lake County Public Library, and we have been focusing most of our efforts on virtual programming. So that includes virtual story times for our younger audience. We have book breaks where we share picture books for slightly older kids. We have Mother Goose on the Loose, and that's for ages 0 to 2. We have story times for ages 2 to 6, and we also offer middle grade book tastings. That is where we share like a chapter of a book, and that's for kids for 3rd to 6th grade about. All those can be seen on our YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and type in Lake County Public Library, you'll see us there. We have not forgotten about the rest of the ages. We have programs for teens. They're all done on Zoom. We have book clubs, trivia nights, virtual gaming programs for them. And our adult programs include book clubs as well as English as a second language classes. Those happen every Monday and Wednesday. And probably the biggest thing that we're doing is our virtual outreach programs. We have a lot of those coming up. So by outreach, I mean we have an outside performer or presenter that comes to our Zoom meetings. And for that, we have been able to do tons of animal programs. We visited state parks all around the nation. We have done ice cream making, dinosaur fossils, paranormal investigators, all kinds of cool stuff.
You have really done a stellar job of creating such interesting programming during this time. I mean, it's fabulous. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I feel like through this time, we are able to reach out and do programming that we probably wouldn't have been able to do in our library. Obviously, the ones that have been from out of state, we visited Alaska, California, Hawaii, tons of places. And we've been able to see things that we would never be able to bring into the library.
You know, post-COVID, do you think that this may all change also how libraries operate? I mean, you know, you set up all these principles, and even though people can come back in, do you think this is going to change how you deliver your materials?
It might. I do think that we may continue some virtual programming because it does give us a wider audience. We're able to reach out to more people, as well as, like I said, the outside performers. That definitely changes the game. So there's a big chance that we will continue that.
Do you have anything specific coming up in like the next couple weeks here that you'd like to tell our audience about?
Yes, I do. So next week, we are going to be talking about elephant seal pups with a ranger from the Hearst San Simeon Park in California. That's on Monday, February 1st at 12. We have the science of sled dogs with a ranger from the Denali National Park in Alaska. That's on Tuesday, February 2nd at 2. We have the story of pro football with the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Wednesday, February 3rd at 2. And then I did want to mention that we have a program about African-American artists with the Smithsonian on Tuesday, February 23rd at noon, just because this is an art program here. And you can always, that's all done through Zoom, and you could find the information for that on our website.
And it's all without charge. So
it's all without charge, yes, exactly.
And you have to be a member of the Lake County Public Library system to access it?
You don't. It's great if you are, but you can also register with just your email. And when you register, you will get a link sent to your email for you to enter the Zoom meeting.
It's so rich. Melissa, this is like exquisite programming.
Well, thank you.
Amazing.
And if they need to get in touch with you about information at the Cedar Lake Library, how would they do that?
So if they would like to get in touch with me, my email is mnowak@lcplin.org. The phone number here is 219-374-7121. And they could explore any of our events and sign up for them at www.lcplin.org.
Well, we'd like to thank Melissa Nowak, branch librarian at the Cedar Lake Public Library. Thank you so much for being Art on the Air Spotlight. We really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And we'd like to welcome to Art on the Air, Sybil Walker. She is involved in many, many things, distinctive handcrafted, soul-inspired living artware she has. But she also has a great career of jewelry design. And she also has done many things that you may have seen her involved with acting, both on Broadway, off-Broadway, film, television, shows like NYPD Blue, Dragnet, the new version, Numbers, Dreamgirls, and a whole bunch of other things. And we'll talk a little bit about her whole journey here. So, Sybil, welcome to Art on the Air.
Hello.
Aloha.
We're so glad you could join us.
Yes, great to be here.
So we'd like to just kind of start so our audience can get to know you, kind of your personal journey, how you got from where you were growing up and all that to where you are now.
All right. I began life in East Chicago, Indiana, and went to schools in East Chicago, went to Catholic school, and ended up going, my final years in high school were at the Elgin Academy in Elgin, Illinois. And from there, went to college at SMU in Dallas, Texas. And I got degrees in theater, Spanish, and psychology, and had a passion for performing all my life. My parents used to take us to plays and musicals and the symphony. And so I just loved performing, singing, and acting, and dancing, doing talent shows and things like that. So I did go on to become a performer. My father was an attorney and later a judge. My mom was a school teacher and interior designer. So she was very, very creative, always making everything beautiful, the home and food. And so I think I got that knack from her. And I thought that maybe I would go on to be an attorney and with my father. And he's like, you know, you can, being an attorney is like acting, you know, when you're in the court. And then I just knew it's like, no. And he was okay with it. I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. So they were supportive of that journey that I went on. Yes. So from Texas, came back home, started doing theater in Chicago, Northlight and Victory Gardens, and was in a play that ended up going. It had a journey that we had no idea. We did it here, and then it went to Arena Stage in DC. Somebody wanted it there, and we thought that was it. And then somebody saw it and they wanted it in Connecticut. And we went to Hartford Stage, and then it's like, okay, this is great. And then some New York producers saw it there. And that's how I got to New York. And it was off Broadway, and it was fabulous. We, eventually, one of the producers that came on was Oprah Winfrey many years ago, and that was amazing. Daryl Hannah's mother brought her on, and it was a three-woman play, and we played like 12 to like 16 different characters, all of us. We played women and men and children and black and white, and it was this really amazing show. Actually, that year, we were in Time Magazine, one of the top 10 shows. So that was a beautiful way to leave Chicago and get to New York. And so I was in New York for many years, doing regional theater, ended up doing off-Broadway and doing Broadway. The Tempest with Patrick Stewart. So that was really great. And then decided I wanted to start to do some more TV and film. I started to do a little TV and film in New York, and then went to LA to do more of that. And actually, I did a lot of theater in Los Angeles and TV, film, theater. I wrote my first solo play, and that was the journey that I was on. And about 8.5 years ago, I came back home. My mom has Alzheimer's, so that kind of shifted the focus of my creative career in that way. And I came home to be a full-time caregiver for her. And for me, I was just like, I have to be creative. I don't know what this journey is going to be that I've been on, but I knew. And I had no idea there was this creative spark with the jewelry. And it's like I didn't know that was in there. And I started creating jewelry. And I had a challenge for myself. I decided when I went back to L.A., but I didn't know when it would be. I was like, when I go back to L.A., I'm going to have done a woman's a collection and a men's collection and a child's collection. And lo and behold, there was this Southwest Airlines had this email one day saying we've gotten our millionth like or something on Facebook, and we have these tickets, and I think it was like a round trip ticket for under $100. So I'm like, I wasn't planning to go back, but I have to. And so I didn't know when, and I did it for like a month and a half. And then I remember what I said, and it's like, oh, I said, when I go back, I have to have these collections. And so I was like, why did I do this? But I put myself out there. I called somewhere, called Agape Spiritual Center, which is my spiritual home. And they had vendors. And I called and I set it up. And I was like, I'm going to be there this day and I want to do it. So then I had no way of backing out. And so I was just up every night and my mom was there with me because I didn't know what I was doing. But I just kind of became this vessel through which creativity came through. And it was just about surrendering. It was like, oh my gosh, look what happened by the next day. Cause I didn't have the training, but I just kept playing around and doing things. And these creations started. And so that was the beginning of that aspect.
So I have a question about that. So did the jewelry... Sybil, did the jewelry come before the Reiki, or did the jewelry happen during Reiki training? Or because that seems to be, and that seems to be like an inspired pairing, if that's how it happened.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, it's wonderful when all of these aspects of my life, I see when you start to see the through line of why things came to be. Actually, years ago, I was studying with this spiritual lady, and she was saying something about Reiki. I had no idea what it was. It was maybe, oh my gosh, 20, 25 years ago, and she initiated me. I had no idea what it was. And then I think maybe when was it? I came home and I took Reiki 1 and 2 again here. And then the jewelry, I think, came some years after that. And then I went on and took 2 and became Reiki master after after the jewelry. But I think, yeah, with that energy was always in there because there was that aspect of the spirituality and the infusion of the vibration, you know, as I make them, I want them they kind of match the vibration of whoever is the one that's getting them. And yeah, so it's been a really divine adventure with the jewelry. And each time I sit down, it's like, I feel like, I don't know. And then just surrendering to that space of knowingness that you don't know.
Right. It's you just let your hands take over.
You know, I'd like to jump back for a minute, Sybil, on your acting career. And, you know, a lot of people, they want to go into acting and they don't know how to break in. And, you know, and I'm involved in theater and I had many, many students that I gave advice to. And I said, but what would be your advice to someone who aspires either be theater or television film, which is a completely different thing, what to do?
What I always felt when I was doing it, because it's got to be a calling, because there are some slim days where you just don't know. And so I would always say to myself, you know, or to someone, if there's anything else you want to, you have to do that, because it has to be a real calling. Because many times, you know, just the journey of just rejection all the time. It's like to continue to be fortified, to continue to show up in your vulnerability, and knowing that each time you go to get a job, you're facing rejection. And then also, you know, sometimes, you know, it's going really well. And then sometimes, you know, there's, you don't know, you know, if it's going to be feast or famine. But it's a beautiful, beautiful way to be connected with yourself and to be connected to other people, to tap into those, all those different glorious colors within oneself, you know, and it's a safe forum to be able to explore, you know, your anger or your joy or your sensuality or your, you know, and so it's like really having an excuse to just show up in ways that we don't necessarily get to in life. And also getting to play, which is wonderful, just to be able to play and put on different characters is really amazing. And just, I think, the camaraderie with actors, with other actors, just having, it's like a sacred tribe, you know, that we're in this and just really respecting how far people are willing to open their souls for people to see. And performers are, you know, in times like this and a pandemic and things, that's what you look to. You look to art, you look to people who are performing, people who are singing, so that you can have a feeling of joy or sadness. You know, songs, they take you back, you know, to your childhood. They take you back to that first love or that great love or that breakup. You know, there's something about it that is magical and so healing. So I love...
You're very, very vulnerable. Yeah, there's a vulnerability at that time.
Well, one of the pieces of advice I always used to give is I said, you need to consider yourself, especially as a performer, that is an aspect of you. So when you are rejected at an audition, they're not rejecting you personally. They're rejecting you as a product, and you need to consider your acting ability as a product. And of course, the other thing I said is a working actor, and I'm not talking about stars or anything, many go to 30 or more auditions for every job they get, and that may only be a job for a few weeks or so. So, I mean, it's a tough business. And I always told the women, I says, and it's four times tougher for you because there's many more women that claim to be actors and then there are men. But that's the advice I said. And the other thing I always said is never lie on a resume, because the performing arts world is pretty small. And all of a sudden they'll say, hey, did you work with director so-and-so? I know him. And all of a sudden a phone call away and they find out you never did. So I hope you'd agree with that.
And Sybil, I have a question about something you mentioned about L.A. and writing your play. So was that first play, was it biographical? Was it fictional? Was it a combination?
I thought it was fictional. But it's interesting once it's done to be like, oh, that there are aspects of me in it. And it actually is a pretty interesting and wonderful story. So I had taken a writing class and I knew at some point I would like to explore doing a one woman show. And I was talking to a friend of mine, just wanting to get an idea. What do you do? You know, how much would a theater cost? How, you know, what people do you have to have involved with lighting and stuff? And she started to give me a lot of prices and I was like, oh gosh, you know, it's going to be a long time, you know, to rent a theater and all these things. And as we were talking, she said, you know, I've always loved you and believed in your talent so much. She's like, I'm going to talk to my theater company about this. And I was just like, okay, it was just part of the conversation. She's like, if you were to do one, what would it be about? I'm like, I have no idea. And I said, you know, well, I had written a book of poetry. I was like, I don't know, maybe I could incorporate those in. I don't know. And so by the end of the conversation, she's like, actually, while we were talking, I've emailed my theater company. And I was like, what? She's like, I've emailed them about, you know, about your show. And so I'm like, what are you talking about? So maybe about a week later, she called me and she says, okay, Sybil, so we have a meeting with the theater in 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? And around Thanksgiving time, I was like, I'm going to be in Indiana. At home at that time. She's like, well, I'll be there. So then she called me and she's like, I had the meeting with them. And she said, so they've lost their February show. So I'm going to put up Paula Mitchell Manning. She's amazing. She's a writer and she's a director and she's a part of this company. And so she said, they've lost it. So you're going to be up in February, Black History Month. I'm like, wait, what? I hadn't written anything. I'd never written anything. And I'm like, she said, and some publications, they need a few months to get this. So tell me, you know, the synopsis of it. I'm like, I don't know. So I was just kind of making stuff up. I'm like, I don't have a director. I don't know. And so just like the what happened years later with the jewelry, there was a deadline and it's like, oh, I see this is how it has to happen, because I had literally a couple of months. And so I called a friend who I hadn't seen in years. And I was like, I have this opportunity to do a solo show. I have a theater, but I don't have a piece and I don't have a director. And he said, you know, I've always thought you were an amazing actress. Yes. I'm like, there's no money. He's like, I'll do it. And I'm like, oh my God. So this thing, it just became bigger than myself. And at that time, it was one of those lean times where I was maybe doing two or three jobs. You know, you have $50 in the bank. It's like, what am I going to do? And so I was working this job and I'd come home and it's like, I just have to write whenever I come home. So I got home and I would write and it's like, I don't know what these are, what it's going to be. And then I was like, okay, by January, I don't know if it was 15th or 8th, it's like, whatever it is that day, that's what the play is going to be. And as it turns out, it was a 3-act play, 3 different vignettes. One of them was a period piece. And it was did like 15, 16 characters. And for me, all of a sudden, Paula called me. She's like, Sybil, I've talked to a friend of mine, Johan. She's coming on as your producer. I'm like, huh? And then she's like, Sybil, you know, a couple of days later, someone is coming on as your set designer. It's like, whoa. And then she called again, somebody's going to be your lighting designer. And it was like, what is happening? The theater had given us $200 to do this show. And it was like, what is going on? And I had to sit in that space of, this is bigger than me, how this is coming about. And I had to just be in such gratitude that it's like, however I've shown up in the world, these people that don't even know me are showing up with a great big yes to whatever this is going to be. My director called and he's like, I've got a friend. She said she'll come on and be your stage manager. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I finished writing it. And in February, I went up and it became this wonderful piece and it kept getting extended. I ended up getting nominated for like a best playwright, best actress in a solo show, best solo show. NAACP nominations and the Ovations are kind of like the Tonys in LA. And it was just like, what just happened? So when I'm down even, and I don't think about it a lot, but when I tell this story, it's like, yes, remember this, that in that space of nothingness, in that space of, I don't know, there is such magic there. If I had had a year to write it, it wouldn't have happened because I would have been in the, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't, I don't know how to write a play, but because, you know, I said on February, whatever it is, if I'm burping and stomping my feet and clapping, I'm going to have to be on a stage doing something. And so that each day I just had to show up. I just had to show up and be present. And it, yeah, became this like wonderful piece. It's called Beneath Rippling Water. And I was able to, that was 2006. I was able to do it again in 2009. You know, got critically reclaimed with the reviews and it was just like, oh my gosh. So yeah, that was like a really
huge,
amazing experience. Yeah. Because the person who was my director, Greg Daniel, he said, you have a wonderful opportunity. Mostly like writers have tons of pieces and they can't find, you know, a theater. You have the situation of there's a theater and you don't have the piece. Like most people have been, you know, wanting, you know, this theater to do it. So yeah. That was such a,
well, just look at everything that had to fit into place. All those people had to be available during that time. And they were, I mean, that's so beautiful.
Yes. And that big yes to me that they didn't know what it was going to be. They didn't get paid. I didn't, it was just like, it was, and just a place for me to have confidence that I'd never had before. Cause it's like, it's just me, you know, when you're in a play, there's somebody else. If you go up on your lines or whatever, you're interacting with somebody else. But this was just me, that the level of trust and that I had to have, knowing that whatever's going to happen, you're in here for the duration. And it also gave me an autonomy and gave me a control over my presentation. Because a lot of times people, like, they didn't know what to make of me. And it's like, I'm going to put everything in here so people will know, you know, everything that I can do. So that I was singing, I was dancing, all kinds of music from, you know, like show tunes, opera. It's like I was dancing. I did a period piece. I did, so they were all these different things. So it's like, I'm going to show all of my colors. I have this opportunity and I'm going to push myself to do this, and I'm going to show up and also have a big yes. So
you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
You know, for our Chicago audiences, you've been you won two Jefferson Awards, one on the Best Ensemble for Mississippi Delta, and you were a Best Actress for the Color Museum. Tell us just a little bit about those shows, especially for our Chicago-based people.
Yes, Color Museum, that was with Broadway royalty, Andre DeShields. He came here to direct it. And actually, that was a really interesting story. I just not too long had moved back from Texas going to college. I guess I was a little more bold back then. Someone had told me, I'd done my first play here at ETA Theater, and we were all getting together after it, the musical director and the actors, to see each other again. And the man, Rufus, who was the musical director, he says, you know, Victory Gardens, they're doing a play across the street. And I walked over and I was like, wanted to get an audition. And so they didn't know who I was, but they granted me an audition. And Andre came in, and I just, like, for some way, that, like, it was divine. I was supposed to have this role because I had never seen it before. I didn't know, but everything, I just knew how to do all of these characters. And that's been one of the things that in my career is doing multi-character shows, multi-characters within one show. And so, I got the audition, and it was, like, amazing. Like, each thing that I did, he's like, how do you know exactly how each one is supposed to be? And he was like, he had talked to him. He's like, who is this person? He's like, I don't know. She just came in off the street. I don't know who she is. And I ended up getting that, and ended up getting, I got the Joseph Jefferson for that. And the beauty of that was my dad, who's since passed away, he was there to be able to be there for that black tie event and, be there with me and some of my mom and some family friends. It was great. I worked there and did a lot of shows at Northlight Theater.
You know, for our local audience, too, the Joseph Jefferson Award is like the local Tony Award. So very, very prestigious. So that's great. Do you have any audition tips before we get off of acting and move on to your other creative things and poetry and the other things you do for someone when they go to do that little audition, whether it be for a musical or straight play?
Oh, my gosh, because I haven't been acting for a while now, but be prepared and just, like, sing plays, reading plays. One thing is, like, really allowing yourself to be open to your feelings and emotions, and to be able to be open to your sadness or your joy, and to be able to express those things, to be able to be so willing to give in that way. And it's about, for me, it's not about, like, oh, a lot of people now may be like, I just want to be a superstar. It's the joy of the art form and the joy of the journey you know, for me, it was just so wonderful. I love live theater. I love stage. And it's like so sad now with what's going on in the world. When will that open up again? But just the dance that you have with the audience, and each night the audience, it's different because there's a different feel. You know, there's a dance that goes on with the performers and the audience, and you play off of each other, and, you know, and you laugh, and they, you know, they laugh, and it creates this whole dynamic. So, yeah.
Right, because just you never know. One audience finds funny, another audience might not, and you're different every day as well. You bring in whoever you are that day.
Exactly, and it's amazing.
No, I was going to say, that's true, is no one performance is ever the same. It's all unique. Every time it's different because audiences are different. Sometimes you can play to an audience, and they're quiet, and yet they love the show, but they just don't give you the feedback. And other audiences give you lots of feedback. But yeah, that makes the dynamic. And trying to perform in front of an empty theater isn't the same.
Yes. And it's amazing that sometimes you get a laugh at a place where it's never been laughed before, but the whole audience is in accord. They're all laughing. And the next night, there's not a laughter there, but this audience is laughing or silent at another time, but it's like there's this energetic connection, this kinetic connection, you know, that there's this spark, there's this magic that happens with live theater. So, and there's no cut, next tape. It's like whatever happens, you have to be in the moment, and you have to keep going.
Yeah, you never can stop in theater.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no replacement for live performance. You know, we've attempted with Zoom and have done a good job, but it's just not the same.
So you also, Sybil, you are a poet and written things besides your play. I thought maybe you'd like to share some of that with our audience, something, and you know, let them have another aspect of you before we move on to your jewelry making. So tell us about what you're going to read, and then let's hear it.
Okay, well, a couple. They're a little different than each other. One is, called, and it's like great now because it's hopeful. One second. It's called No Looking Back. No longer can I retrace my former footsteps. They can't lead me to my destiny. Remnants from my past scatter beyond my reach in this unrecognizable new frontier of endless possibilities. With the puppeteer strings cut, with no script to follow, and no roadmap to guide me on my way, old rules no longer apply. Breaking free, no longer existing in a self-imposed exile from living, no longer indentured servant to my should master. As I greet the challenge of my mystery trek, I wonder, when darkness befalls, what will light my path? What lurks beneath the grasp of my familiar? When I stumble, what will cushion as I land, being still? Allowing the quiet to unfold. Omniscient omnipotence sends blessed assurance. The remaining traces that once bore my name, the outdated vestiges that once wore my frame, will metamorphose into a miraculous, boundless, resilient newness, fully equipped with wings.
And that was Sybil Walker. That was beautiful. I wish our audience could see the video of you and how expressive your face is. I mean, it was just, that was almost as much part of it as hearing it.
I don't know. I had my eyes closed and was transported, so.
So let's talk about your special jewelry and how that, you know, we touched on that earlier, but what it is and how you're doing it and, you know, what where people can find it.
Okay, my jewelry. This is a different time too, because I started to do it and learning about the art festivals. So that's what was happening during the summers and the holiday seasons. And we're in a different world now. So that hasn't been happening. But that was always wonderful, being able to be right there with the people so they could see it and feel the energy of the power of the pieces and put them on. And we could, talk and just commune with each other.
I know. And they're not, it's so interesting because these are not timid pieces, you know, they're very bold and we've worked together and people are drawn to particular pieces, you know, and if you put on a piece, you can definitely feel that this is without even looking at it. This one just doesn't feel right. It's just really, but they are very powerful pieces, Sybil.
Yeah, and I've heard people say, you know, oh my God, this looks like me. If I was a piece of jewelry, this looks just like me. And people have gotten pieces, have said, you know, that friends have told that it looks like you. And there's a matching vibration. Right. So I also do signature pieces. So I think so all of the things coming together, the Reiki and the psychological courses and just the acting, all of that, being able to feel into a person. So I very deliberately, you know, go and choose what crystals, because they're crystal and gemstone, what vibrationally a person needs, and just really go into what is their signature piece. And so that's been a wonderful.
So do you start out with a conversation with them when they, so is it, you know, a back and forth to find out, so you get a feel for them, or do you need to do that?
Yes. And sometimes I just have a thought, but yeah, I talk to them, or if they, there's a certain stone that they like, but a lot of times it's like, oh, if I've talked to them or if I've done like a session with them, then that really, because I've been in their vibrational feel. So it's like, oh. Like knowing also like healing wise, what type of energies they need. And so that's also part of just like surrendering to the intuitiveness of what is needed. Interesting enough, in the past too, somebody has gotten something and they've said, even if you don't, like when I created a piece, it wasn't for them, but it was in the time of creation. It was for them because everything vibrationally and the stone and everything. And people have had these wonderful, mystical, amazing stories. And they come back and tell me these serendipitous encounters and, you know, different things with healing. So it's like, whoa, wow. It's like the magic of them. So I am now, it's like I've got to get my website up, but I do have a Facebook page where that you can have them. And yeah, I've been really blessed in the last year to have had done some commissioned pieces. Yes. So.
Well, they're just so appealing and so, I mean, I love seeing them all together too. I mean, I'm sure you're happy when they find their right person, but they're so strong all together as well.
Yeah, there is actually that moment because they're like my babies. And there was a time before it's like, oh, because I want this. I want them to be with me. I want to wear this. So I love all of them. And so the amazing thing is like when they're going to their forever home. And when I see it, it feels like, oh, yes. This is yours, you know, so there's a wonderful like homecoming of the spirit of that piece and the spirit of that person coming together. And it's like, it was for them. That feels like amazing.
It's very strong because I've watched it happen in person. It is that pairing is a very wonderful moment.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
So there's like three different things, right? There's poetry, there's spoken word, and then there's storytelling. And so, do you have something else you would like to share with us? It could be any of the Any of the above?
Yeah, I'll do. Okay. Here's one other piece. It's a little different. This is this one's called Fulfillment Full Feel Menuet.
That's very enticing.
Yes. So here we go. I want to feel I can move you, make you feel. I want to see the need in your eyes as you take me in. I want to watch while your eyes close as you see composure, because the heat from our gaze may make you squeal. I want to sense your struggle to breathe, because my presence takes hold of your insides and makes you weak. I want the sound of my voice to bring you back to life. I want my hand to linger on yours as your words and warmth penetrate. I want the air between us to be so thick with desire, we're no longer able to speak. I want not to utter a word, yet know, you know. I want the intensity of your embrace that makes me feel at last I'm home. I want to awaken within you a passion that ignites and engulfs you and threatens to make you explode. I want to dance in your memory when we're apart. I want you to think about me simply because you can't stop yourself. I want to open up volumes of you to you. I want to guide you, follow you, meet you halfway. I want to find our flow. I want to feel me feeling you. Feel you filling me. Full me. Full you. Fulfilling we.
Oh, beautiful.
So evocative.
Yes. So, Sybil, what are you looking forward to post-pandemic? I mean, or first of all, how has it affected you? And then what are you looking forward to doing when it's all past? Is there performing in your future at some point?
There was a sadness of, like, years ago, you know, coming back home feeling I wasn't, you know, performing anymore. But I was able to find other creative outlets, which is wonderful with the food that I do. You know, there's also that, there's an infusion of creativity in that. But what happened last year, I started, I got into a poetry group. We meet once a month, and that's been amazing. That's gotten that spark going. It's like, oh, I still can, you know, write, you know. And then also I started doing some like poetry in motion. There was a piece that was really powerful that came from all the things. There was a different turn that my poetry took last year with all that was going on in the world. And my nephew at the time, he's like, this needs to be filmed. This needs to be out there. And I was like, oh, I don't know. He's like, no, come over to my house today. We're filming this. And so we've actually filmed 4 of them. And so that being able to have my writing, to be able to have that performance thing. And so I want to continue to do that. I've started to write again. I've started singing again. I took a singing online thing. And so I'm coming back to having more of my life show up because it's been like caretaker, caregiver, caregiver. And it's like, I need to fuel those parts in me. So I'm singing. And so like, as I'm creating during this time, it's like, I'm hoping, you know, I'm going to be creating some things so that when this time is over, I'm ready to show up again in this way. Cause I was like, oh, maybe I'm not doing this. It's like, no, I always have to find some way to be creative. It's like, that's like breathing. So I'm grateful that I've had those outlets, and hopefully, yeah, I'd love to, you know, do theater again. I'd love to do some voiceovers again. That would be amazing. And actually that's probably, I should look into that. That'd be great to be able to do that. A lot of people are doing stuff like that from home. So maybe that could be, an outlet as well. So
did the raw food chef, you have that down. Do you still?
I do. That started back in New York, and there was a master, and before he left New York, he's like, I need to pass this on. He was going to start a healing place in Jamaica. His name was Aris Lafemme. He's amazing. He's like, I need to pass this on. So I apprenticed under him. And when I went to LA, I took classes with Giuliano. And I was just like, the healing, the energy, I'd never experienced that. When I tasted Arisa's food, it's like, what is this? Like, you can feel high from eating, you know? And so I started doing that. I started, and the people were like, oh, this is amazing. This is great. Why don't you, I'd like to have this. And so I was starting it for myself, and then I started to do it for people. I've always loved cooking. My mom is an amazing cook as well. But yeah, this, And the beauty of it too is finding ways that people have substitutes where it's like, oh, I don't know if I could ever do that. That they're like, oh my God, if it tastes like this and has the texture and it's amazing tasting, I could give that up. So that's the challenge and the beautiful thing when people who don't eat that way are like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is even better than. So that's, so it's just like that infusion of the magic, you know, that permeates, you know, if it's the jewelry or the poetry, ever just finding that spark
that convergence, like all these stories are convergences of everything. It's really
my question is Beneath Rippling Water published? Can people get that and perform that?
It's not, and that's something I want to do as well, and getting it out there. You know, people, you know, have the DVD and stuff like that. But yeah, I would love to do that again because it's a special piece. It's a very special piece.
I saw that there's an excerpt on YouTube of it where they can actually see you doing that. You just have to put in Beneath the Rippling. Snippet. Yeah, you just type it in, yes. And there's a little excerpt on YouTube for about 8 minutes. So.
From the first one, but yeah.
Well, we're about ready to wrap it up, but I want to give you a chance to tell us about like how to get in touch with you, where to find out about your jewelry, and everything like that. I think it's Soul Spoken Designs on Facebook, and you're working on a website. So tell us a little bit about how people can find you.
Yeah, so Facebook, Soul Spoken Designs. You can see the pieces on there, and if you want to see my poetry in motion, Instagram is Sybilized, which is Sybilyesd. Sybilized, getting the world civilized. So you can see that there. The food is Invigor Eating. I haven't done that for a while, but I'll always get back to it. So you can hit me up. There's an Instagram, Invigor Eating. So yeah, any of those things that you're interested in.
Sounds
give
great.
Give me a call. Yeah.
Full rich experience.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. It's been a real pleasure to hear all the variety that you are. Sybil Walker, film, television actress, Broadway, off-Broadway, LA Regional Theater, author, poet, and jewelry designer. And
Fabulous woman.
Yeah, and a fabulous woman. This has been a real pleasure for us. And thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air. It's been fantastic, Sybil.
Thank you, Sybil.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great being with you all. Love and blessings.
Here's a longtime friend to Art in the Air and composer of our theme music, Billy Foster and his trio. You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary Levan, Arts Patron. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.